Ron's message this morning. Something that we, I think, all need to hear and think about and all of that, sure, as it did me at times, stepped on a few toes, and that's okay as well. I think he was meaning to step on some hearts as much as anything. So, but it was good. It was good to think about that. It's good to think about our priorities. A couple of things that he said really hit me with the statistics of, he started with 10% of, Christians that are on church rolls can't even be found. Don't know where they are. But then when he kept going and it got down to the 85% never invite anyone to church, 95% of Christians never help lead anyone to Christ. I mean, and that's the Great Commission. That's what we're supposed to be. That's our job description of what we're supposed to be doing. So I really appreciated, and you know what? I appreciate also being a part of a church that will just speak the truth and speak it from the Word, and that means a lot. And I was sitting there smiling as I listened to it because I also thought of what I was going to be talking about tonight, and he was talking about, our commitment and, that we should be here in fellowship together as Christians, as our church family. And tonight I want to talk about some of the benefits of being a Christian. So if you want to turn to Psalm 103, I want to look at verses 2 through 5. Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5. And I want to talk about benefits because we don't always think of the benefits of being a Christian or really think about what those benefits might be. But because of the benefits that we get, that the Lord provides for us to be a Christian, it empowers us to prosper in God's will if we'll just accept those benefits. So let's look at it, beginning with verse 2. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his scripture. The benefits. I don't know if it comes across to everyone or not, but I really try, when I'm talking to people or being out and around, I really try to be upbeat and happy and positive. And every once in a while, someone will ask me, it's like, how can you be happy all the time? Or why are you so happy? And, I've thought about that at times. And, I've been sad and I really didn't like it. I've tried sick and I don't really want to do that either, so I choose to be happy. I want to be happy. I've made up my mind to be happy with regardless of the circumstances around me. And the reason I do that is it's my right. I get that choice because it's one of the benefits that the Lord has blessed us with. I'm going to use those benefits that he gives me. And one of the greatest benefits we have is being able to lean upon God's word and to look at it and use it in our lives. In the good times and the bad times, what does the Bible tell us? Give the Lord praise, right? In the good and the bad. So I'm going to choose to praise the Lord. And hopefully, as Ron mentioned this morning, the more of us that come and are praising the Lord, maybe the world will see what's going on and get a better understanding. I've read many, many, many good books in my life. I've read a lot of good books, but none of them compare to the Bible and what is in the Bible. Because the Word of God is living, it's breathing, and it is decreeing all the time and declaring who God is and what he does. And if you want those answers, you simply have to go to his word to find that. But along the way, within that, it is filled with benefits that will empower us to prosper in God's will. Now, I think we need to think about that word prosper for a second, because a lot of times as humans, even as Christians, we get a worldly view, a worldly picture, a worldly definition of what prosper means, do we not? I mean, probably the first thing that comes to your mind if I would ask you to give me a definition of prosperity. What is prosperity? The first things that come to our mind are wealth, having adequate resources to provide, big houses, fancy new cars. You know, we see people living like that and we think, wow, they're successful. They're prosperous. But I don't think that's the biblical definition of prosperity at all. When the Bible and God talks about allowing us to prosper, what does that mean? And I think it simply means that we are able and can choose to live in God's will. And if we live in God's will, that will allow us to prosper. If that is not the case, then what do we do with Daniel in the lion's den? Would you not say that Daniel was prosperous by his time in the lion's den? What would we do with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace? Were they not prosperous through that situation by living in God's will? What would you do with Stephen in the hour that he's being stoned to death and he looks up to heaven and thanks the Lord for his situation? What would you do with Jesus Christ on the cross? Is he not prosperous? Was he not prosperous by going to the cross and dying for our sins? So I think we really got to think about that word prosper and prosperity and what it means. And we have the opportunity as Christians to prosper in every facet of our lives. We can prosper financially, we can prosper spiritually, we can prosper physically, as long as we frame that around living in God's will. There are benefits of having the Holy Spirit live in our lives. Some of those benefits come from Galatians 5. From the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, the Bible says, there is no law. That's pretty neat. Because what it's saying is these are the attributes that we are entitled to. And what I like about that is I can honestly say that no one can take away my joy, because there is no law that allows them to do that. I mean, you can't take away my faith, because against such there is no law. And you certainly can't steal my peace, because against such, there is no law. So there again are some of the benefits we get by being a Christian. So let's look closer at what we read in Psalm 103, verses 2 to 5. Because I really like the way this psalm starts out. So many times in our prayers, we're kind of selfish people. We kind of always in our prayers want to say, bless me, Lord. Bless me, bless me, bless my family, bless the people around me, bless us. And I like this psalm because it says, bless the Lord. Not bless me, bless the Lord. Well, what does being blessed mean? I mean, I've kind of grown up understanding that being blessed is happy. So how do you make God happy? It's what it's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and not only my soul, but all that is within me. That's with everything we have. Bless the Lord. Make the Lord happy. How do we do that? Well, let's think about the wealth part of what we thought, you know, came to our mind with prosperity. What do I need to make God wealthy? Don't think so. He already has it all. He owns it all, right? We just cannot do that. We could not give him enough to add to his wealth. Just can't do it. Wouldn't make sense. So how do we make the Lord happy? You know what? When you think of a job, and we're talking about benefits, whenever you think back whenever you got that new job, one of the first things you wanted to know when you got a new job was what? How much you get paid, your salary, your hourly wage, and then almost the second thing would be what are the benefits, right? And so you start saying, well, what are the benefits? What do I get? My mom and dad were blessed to both have worked for their 30-plus years at Cummins and retired, and that was that time period where right out of high school you could get on at Cummins, and it was great. They were great times. And they still benefit from that today because of insurance and different things through those years. Great benefits working for Cummins and still today. But, man, they really went through a time period where, you know, it was good to them. You know, I would often, back in Jennings, go back to do a lesson with a class of the young people, and they were doing a career exploration, and we would talk about different occupations, and they would have people come in from different occupations to try to tell them about what we did and whatever. So I would go and represent education. And I always thought, you know what, if I were going to do a want ad in the paper, I could really come up with a pretty attractive, you know, want ad for jobs to go into education, to be an educator, to be a teacher. I mean, just think about it. Put it together. And I would throw this out to the young people. I'm like, how many weeks of vacation does your mom or dad get at their job? You know, and sometimes they were starting out and they would say, two or three, I think. And sometimes they'd say, well, my dad's worked there for a while and he gets 5 weeks and da-da-da-da. You know, you'd go along that. And I'd say, well, how about if I offered you a job where I gave you 16 weeks vacation right up front? And they're like, what? Why? What? There's 36 weeks in a school year, and there's 52 weeks in a year, right? So, wow, I've got something to offer you with 16 weeks vacation. How about if I could tell you you could work by whatever your interest was? If you like math, you can do math all day long. If you like activities, I'll let you be a PE teacher, and you can be in those activities all day long. You like little kids, you like older kids. How about you want to live at a beach? There are schools all along the coastlines. You know, you want to live in warm weather, you want to live in cold weather, you want to live in a city, you want to live in the country. Schools everywhere could help you. See what I mean? Come up with a pretty good job description. Now, I'm going to go home and hear from Sandy and Jill and some of you that have been teachers that are going to say, now, Kendall, you know we work more than 36 weeks and there's extra hours and all that. I know that and understand that, believe me, but I'm just putting that together for the kids, for them to start thinking about benefits, you know, the hours they can spend with their kids and this and that and everything else. So when we want to think about God's situation and how we can bless God and how we can make him happy, I think we have to begin with thinking, what will it be to bless the Lord? And one of the Ron's things that he said today that I think was really telling was that 95% of people never help to lead anyone to Christ. And you know why I think that hit me so hard? Because I think that's how God is blessed, by souls being saved. I think that's in our job description in the Great Commission, to go out and spread the gospel to all ends of the earth and everything. God is happy when we win souls for him and when there's new people in the family. And if we think about being blessed means to empower, to prosper, he has blessed us with the ability to share what he's done in our lives, to share the good things he has done, to be a living example of what he has done. And we all carry around pictures of kids and grandkids and things in our lives, do we not? And we're so quick to send pictures of them on Facebook or pull out a billfold and say, yeah, here's my grandson and da 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 da. But why are we so hesitant to say, here's a picture of my best friend? His name's Jesus. Can I tell you what he's done for me? I mean, we need to get bold, and we need to do a better job of that so we really can bless the Lord. You know, God doesn't need our money. He doesn't count that as wealth. He counts his wealth by saved souls. Now, I don't know about you, but that sets my heart on fire. That gets me excited about wanting to go out and do God's work. These benefits, I think, are also something to shout about, something to get excited about. I know there are a lot of people that don't think that there should be a lot of motion, a lot of emotion in a church service or in a religious type setting, that shouldn't be part of a Christian's life. But I got to tell you, I beg to differ. I just see that otherwise. I know the Bible says that David danced for the Lord to worship him and praise him. And I want you to know it's okay to get emotional every once in a while. Sandy and I were talking about this morning, and she said there was a couple of things that she just wanted to kind of just say amen, and she was wanting to work it up, and then all of a sudden Ron said, can I get an amen? And she was able to do it then. But, you know, we really, not picking on her, but we really need to, when that spirit hits us, if that's the case, we need to be able to do that. We need to be able to do it. People get emotional watching a sporting event, do they not? Myself included. I want to throw a remote at the IU games on my TV. You know, I get excited. I get into it. Other people do too. We get so into a football game, baseball, basketball, whatever it is. Players do victory dances. They do all kinds, score a touchdown, do a dance, spike the ball, do all kinds of things. And then the fans get into it. They're standing and just screaming and yelling and chanting. And I see those same people in a church service, and they sit there and look like they just drank a bottle of vinegar or something, you know. It's like, and it's almost the attitude's like, well, here I am. You know, bless me if you can, but you better do it in an hour because I've got other things I got to do today. And you better hurry because you need my money, so come on, let's get to it. Is that not the truth, though, really? I mean, really, you know, people sit back and it's like, let's just liven up a little bit. It's like Ron said, you know, the Savior, the Creator of the world is here in our midst. And that should make us so excited when we've got God in our lives and his many benefits that he gives us. That is something to shout about and to get excited about. I know that when I put God first in my life, when I prosper him, I know he in turn is going to prosper me and allow me to live in his will. Matthew 6:33 kind of promises that, by the way. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, what are all these things? His benefits. His benefits. And then we go on and we look, and it says, okay, so let's start looking at the benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Now, some of your translations will say sins. And we know what sins are, right? What are iniquities? Well, you know, that could be translated to a sin as well. But I think iniquities kind of goes even further than what we think about. Because we think of sins of those things that you can see and you can tell. And it's like, whoa, that person's not living, you know, a godly life, or they're not doing what they should do, or they're not talking the way they should be talking, or you know, something like that. But what about iniquities? Who forgives all your iniquities? And you know what I think iniquities covers? I think iniquities covers all that twisted stuff that's in our minds that we think about, that we shouldn't be thinking about, where we judge people, where we have these evil thoughts or desires, stuff that we wouldn't want everyone to really know, but goes through our minds and so forth, or some of the stuff we get caught up in by being around other people, and something happens and we say, well, you know what, I wish brother and sister so-and-so would just, maybe they just need to go somewhere else, or they just need to do this, or hey, have you heard about what happened to so-and-so? Or hey, don't tell anybody, I'm not supposed to tell, but... You know, all those kinds of situations, you know, that the kind of the twisted stuff, not just the outright sin, but those things that's like, my mind shouldn't have gone there, shouldn't go there, shouldn't be there. And it says that God is the one who forgives all of those things, those iniquities in our lives. So that's pretty neat. Then it says, the next benefit, who heals all your diseases. Now, I want to tell you something. I believe that God can heal any disease that he chooses to. But does that mean he's going to heal every disease? Absolutely not. That's our human nature wanting that to happen for our benefit, but we got to know and understand that might not be God's will. Right? And you know, I get a little perturbed sometimes, and I probably shouldn't pick on them either, but I mentioned this in Sunday school today. I have a hard time sometimes with some of the TV and evangelists that are doing these healing ceremonies, and they're telling everyone, it's just if you have enough faith, you know, you can be healed. And I'm thinking, okay, then why are you wearing glasses while you're doing that? Didn't you not pray to have your eyesight back? Where's your faith? You know what I mean? So we got to be careful of where you go with that. The key is it's God's will. It's living in his will. If we want to prosper, we're able to take what he gives us in our lives and live within his will. And it just might be that through that illness, through that disease, that he is creating a situation where if you handle that in the right way, it's going to lead other people to become closer to Christ through how you handle that situation, living in God's will. Too many people, on the other hand, accept sickness and accept illness. And I want you to think for a second about what we do in those situations. You take a person who is really sick. Take a person who is dealing with really severe depression. Where do we send them? To a facility that has a lot of people who are dealing with really severe depression. That's going to help them get out of it, isn't it? It's like, you're down, let me drag you down with me type deal. What if we put those people with people who are on fire for the Lord all the time? What you know, if someone is injured, if someone needs to be healed from an injury, we send them to someone who can help them out, right? Who can fix that. And we need to do the same thing sometimes with people who are facing these battles and diseases and so forth, and put them around people who can help them out. Too many people accept that sickness as a part of life. You know, I've heard people kind of, this is a little overboard, but you know, mama had diabetes, and wasn't too long before daddy caught diabetes too. And, you know, Uncle Fred's dogs, his hunting dogs, they had diabetes as well. And you want to say, well, do you have it? And they're like, no, but I'm bound to get it because it runs in the family. You know, no, not necessarily. You know, pray for God's will in your life. The next part says, redemption from destruction, who redeems your life from destruction. Well, what would that mean? Well, things happen and we need God to be there and keep us safe and protect us and do all these things. And, you know, I heard one time somebody commenting, and it happened to be a person that had been on a plane and the plane's engines failed. And the plane was going down, and he said, you know, I happened to be on a plane with a very diverse group of people. I would say there were all kinds of different religions and people that worshipped different gods, and the plane was okay, by the way. But he said, on the way down, as we were going down and we all thought we were going to die, he said, I never heard one of them shout out to Buddha. He said every one of them were shouting the name of Jesus as that plane was going down. You know, why? Because he is the one who's alive and he's the one that's coming back. And they know deep down that theirs isn't. So we need that God in our lives who's going to redeem us from destruction. I don't really worry about what's going to happen to me anymore. That's a great feeling, by the way. But I know this, I can't lose. I just simply can't lose. You know, God is either going to bless me with more days to be able to do some things that he wants me to accomplish here, or he's going to take me home. And either way, I win. And the devil loses. Because when we cast our cares on Christ, the devil doesn't have a chance. The devil doesn't have a chance. And then it talks about kindness and mercy, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, if you set out to hurt people or judge people, they catch on pretty quickly, and you'll see people try to scatter from you about as quick as they can get away. But if you let the tender mercies and the loving kindness of God flow through you, that attracts people to you. And why is that important? Because as you're allowing the kindness and love of Christ to flow through you and that attract people, that gives God the opportunity to win them through you into his family. It's a satisfying thing to live in the will of God. You see, God can help them, and that's a benefit. And then this next part I really, really, really love. It says, who satisfies your mouth with good things. To me, that means there ought to be good things coming out of your mouth. You know, and sometimes that's not true with all people. It's more satisfying to have good things roll off your tongue than it is bad things. Words of faith will lift people up. Words of doubt create more doubt. Words of anger produce more anger. Words of peace produce a calmness. Life is simply more satisfying when there is good coming out of people's mouths. And then it talks about youth being renewed like the eagles. That's a pretty neat picture, is it not? Sandy and I will have been married 32 years this Thursday, I believe. 32 years this Thursday, and it wasn't too long ago that she said, you know, Kendall, you look better now than you did the day that I married you. You guys believe that, don't you? And I said, dear Jesus, help her, she's going blind. I know, I've got the photos, I got the photo album. I know it's just not true. But you know what? Love's blind. And that's truly a benefit. I mean, it really is. I mean, I was never a big physical specimen, but you know, back in the day, back then, I had a six pack. Now I've got this pony keg right here. So I know it's not true, but love is blind. Have you ever watched older people, elderly people that are still so much in love? You know, what do they say? They see themselves still as 18-year-olds, do they not? And why is that the case? Because they didn't marry the body. They married the person. They're in love with who that person is. And the scripture says that God will allow you to be renewed like an eagle. What color is an eagle's feathers? The main ones. White, are they not? So think about that as you're aging and growing older, and that whiteness, and this scripture says that God is going to renew your youth like the eagles. Psalm 103, 2-5. I hope you look at it and really study it a little bit more. It tells us this. If we put the Lord first in our lives, and we accept his benefits. And we use those benefits to go out and help win souls for him, which will make him happy. And we don't let the benefits escape our memories. We hold them dear and hold them close. He will renew our youth like the eagles. Now that's a divine overhaul. There's no doctors that can do that. They haven't found that special fountain of youth yet that can do that. But the scripture says that our God can. And what does that really mean? It means he can give us enough Holy Spirit in us to revive us to live in his will. Will we get tired? Yes. Will our bodies wear down? Yes. But living in God's will, allowing him to allow us to prosper by living in his will renew our youth like the eagles. Here's the deal. It's time for Christians to realize and understand that we don't have to accept the problems of the world. We really don't. We don't have to accept it. Why? Because you and I have benefits, scripturally based benefits, and we can put the word of God on any situation and then watch God change that situation. Watch God go to work. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Bible says we are more than conquerors. More than, not just conquerors, we are more than conquerors. And no weapon formed against us can prosper. We have the benefit of God's word. We have the benefit of his presence in our lives. And because of that, we are destined to overcome and we are empowered to prosper. So please tonight, accept the benefits of being a truly devoted Christian. Let's pray.